introduce the first of tonight's speakers, Juliet.
Thanks, Charlotte.
Hi, I'm Juliet. I'm an addict. Gosh, it's so very, very busy. I'm 204 days clean. And, and this is, I'm not sure quite where to start. What brought me into the rooms, what's keeping me here, or my experiences, my experience, strength and hope. I kind of wished I'd been able to share that I was scared about doing this chair in a few meetings this week, but I didn't really even cover it. I just kind of covered other stuff, and I kind of thought that Charlie, who asked me to do it, would have forgotten. But he didn't, so I'm here, and my friend said to me, all you have to do is just come and sit in the chair. So here I am. Anyway, I've been in and out the rooms for, I was taken to AA when I was 14, and I lasted 20 minutes, and then I came back to, and then I just did NA, NAN again, and tried it for the next sort of 30 years, really. And I did actually get a period of really long clean time in my late 20s, but I was on psychiatric drugs at the time, so I kind of had something else that was kind of dumbing my feelings down. And then I came off them, and then I met the love of my life, and he was a using addict, who I thought I was going to get clean. But obviously it didn't work out that way. but starting at the beginning, I was born to addicts. My dad was in the army, and he's not just an addict, he's a sexual deviant. So I grew up, so my mum divorced him quite early on, she's a chronic alcoholic, so through her alcoholism, she managed to meet exactly the same type of husbands again. And her alcoholism rendered her incapable of really doing anything. But so I grew up kind of being aware of addiction in a really hardcore way, but more the fact of what it does to children. And that isn't to say that is the reason why I'm an addict, because that, I mean, it was just a different kind of childhood. You know, I spent a lot of time as a child, like the worst thing I did was when I was like 4 years old, 5 years old, I tried to, I was always taking lords and ladies or like poisonous plants, or stealing from my mum's cupboard and trying to take drugs. I had my stomach pumped a few times before the age of 9. And same with my brother, and I got done for like trying to half kill my brother because I was trying to protect him, but nobody really saw it like that. They thought I was just evil. And I kind of got I kind of knew that there was a, you know, and we were given a few, there were a lot of kind of drugs and alcohol in my house, and it was utilised around me and some other people just for, you know, things that aren't really appropriate on children. So I kind of, by the age of 7, I got hundreds of warts, and nobody really wanted to know me at that point. And then by the age of 10, 11, I kind of knew I was really different. I'd always known I was really different. I felt that I was really different, but I was different compared to the people that I knew, in the respect that, you know, a lot of stuff went on at home that didn't go on in other people's houses, which you could tell. But then when I was about 12, something happened externally to my house that was kind of quite violent. And I then kind of really discovered, kind of the cabinet and stuff like that at home and alcohol. And I kind of started preparing myself for what I thought, because I didn't really know about their drugs so much, but their alcohol, and I was really disparaging about it. And I kind of started prepping my what I thought was like I read Christiane F and I kind of planned to be this. I thought, like, fucking hell, if she can get away with that kind of lifestyle and she's only had that happen to her, oh my God, how exciting is my life going to be? Because for some reason, I thought it seemed better than where I was at. And then that's my best friend died when I was 14, and it kind of gave me, I kind of didn't, my mum's house had been repossessed, and my brother got fostered, and by the time I was 15, I kind of was living, I had a boyfriend, an old boyfriend who was really into drugs, and I was kind of living half with him and half not really, sort of, it was quite random. My mum got put in a halfway house in Canterbury, which is kind of the area that I was from. And then by the time I was 16, I had a job and a bedsit that I rented, that I subletted to my dope dealer. And then I lived with my speed dealer, and I ran drugs for my heroin dealer, like ran to all the bars. So I kind of thought I was it, and I thought I was like ruling the world, and I thought I was this sort of the fucking coolest 16-year-old in town. And then it kind of got really nasty, and I didn't handle it, and I got really ill and attempted suicide, but didn't obviously do very well. And ran to London to go and find my real dad, who I didn't believe my mum, really, when she told me that he was not someone I should really know. And it turned out, yeah, he wasn't someone I should really know. So I went, got institutionalised for trying to kill him, attacking him, and did some terrible things, like, oh God, like my best friend's dad, who was like my friend, she came to pick me up, like I got arrested for prostitution, her dad came to come and pick me up, and he was so shocked, and I just realised I wasn't even talking about all the drugs I was taking, but really awful things, like accusing someone who had never even touched me of rape, and like just really putting shame on their family, just doing things. I just chose the wrong person, basically. I was just picking on the wrong, you know, I thought they'd kind of understand in my kind of nutty head, but it didn't really work out like that. And then carried on being, like, then got properly institutionalised, where they said they weren't going to let me out, because I was running around the streets. I was living in here, well, staying here, and in Centrepoint when I was 19 and 20. And I was and then they moved me to a place in King's Cross called the Birkenhead Short Stay Women's Hostel for Women on Remand. And it kind of was quite brutal. You know, you're exposed to some really fucking hardcore people. And I then got institutionalized. I went back to where I grew up, and I got put in the local mental institution called St. Augustine's. And I was there, they were going to throw away the key, thank you. And I kind of made a pact with my a higher power, because I'd been to one kind of meeting there. And then I came out, and to cut a long story short, I kind of got myself organised when I came out. I had to go and live with, the only person who would vouch for me was my ex-stepdad. So I had to live with him for 18 months, which was quite hardcore, considering all of my history with him, but he was the only person who would vouch for me to the doctors. And I lived with him, and then as soon as I went to night school, studied, didn't really do a lot of drugs at that point, just like, didn't really get really bad again after having been, sorry, when I was, I was in a really bad way when I was here and in the other places, you know, I then leap forward a few years, like got worked really hard, focused my addictive nature on working really hard, and then met my now ex, and went out with him for 15 years, stole all his drugs, and had two children with him. And I think the greatest gift that I have now is 7 months ago, my daughter was running away and trying, saying that she was going to commit suicide and do all these terrible things. And then yesterday they read her name out, and doing no work at school, and yesterday they read her name out in assembly and said that she's the girl who's turned her life around the most to the whole school. And that made me really, really proud. My son has, she's been in psychiatric therapy and has a social worker and a counsellor and a therapist for the last 5 months, which was action I took when she was, when I got searched clean. And I myself have, you know, my son is really precarious at the moment, but he's 9, she's 12, and he's just starting the same process because he had been found with my ex's pills, and he'd been saying that he wanted to die as well. And we're just starting, I'm just putting the action in now to get him on the road to recovery. I think the biggest gift is that now I don't have to fucking lie, and I can be there for them, and I'm actually, and when I have a moment where I think I might go back out or anything, I just think like I'm not going to be able to cope with getting up in the morning and spending time with them and being a parent, even though I split up with my partner, and he was the love of my life, and it's hard because he's still using, and you know he's got a fucking girlfriend already, you know how, I'm clean, but you know I don't think it's probably the best time to get into that sort of thing at the moment. So I'm incredibly grateful. The biggest gift this has given me is give me friends and give me somewhere that's held me and loved me when I fucking don't love my... I'm trying to love myself, but I don't love... You know, I feel like I'm doing step four at the moment and it makes me feel disgusting. And this place, coming here and having everybody and feeling the love and just knowing that I can call or I can get a cuddle and I've got people who help me and support me has given me something I've never had in my whole life. I don't know what the fuck I did any other time I came in the room, so I didn't manage more than 67 days. But I never got it like I got it now. I've never ever felt so much support. And the gift, the absolute gift of recovery. You know, sorry, I didn't really think about anything funny. I do have some funny stories, but they didn't really come out tonight. I don't know what's wrong. But thank you very much for listening to my talk.